Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
And now, back to the man who humbly and graciously accepted the 2002 Small Business Journalist of the Year Award.
Who's the man? Who's the man?
Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We are back. It's 34 after the hour. My pleasure to continue to be with you today, and I know it's like a dream come true for you, right? My website is www.jbsba.com or jimblasingame.com or smallbusinessadvocate.com. If you like to type, there's a long one for you, the short one. If you don't like to type, it's jbsba.com. You can subscribe to my newsletter. You can do lots of other things there. I hope you'll check it out when you get a chance. Doug Stives is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. He's the resident CPA in the Small Business Advocate Brain Trust, and he's one of the managing partners there at Kirchin and Company. Actually, the Kirchin Group, I think it is now, in beautiful downtown Red Bank, New Jersey. He's our good friend, Doug. Welcome back to the show.
Good morning. Nice to be with you, Jim.
It's good to be back. It's the Kirchin Group now, isn't it?
Yes, we've been the Kirchin Group for 2 years.
Yeah, how about that? Beautiful downtown Red Bank.
Well, be careful now. You get people smiling, but that's okay.
The Chamber of Commerce told me to say it that way. That's what I was told by your Chamber of Commerce. There.
They also say that the sun shines every weekend, Jim.
Hey, Doug, we're here on the cusp of a presidential election, and we got a lot of things kind of in hanging fire a little bit. There are a lot of things that are available to small business owners right now that we can take advantage of. Maybe some things that we're hoping to be able to take advantage of in the years to come. But can you give us an idea about how to think about the future if Mr. Bush gets reelected, and then also if Mr. Kerry gets elected?
Yeah, be happy to do that. And as a lead into that, Jim, is remember that whoever gets elected doesn't have any power until next year. And Congress is basically going to wind down, we think, without doing really any more to the tax law this year. So for 2004, I think the most significant feature of the tax law for small businesses is that if you acquire new equipment, if you were to acquire a new van for your business or put a new computer system in or renovate your office or whatever you might be thinking about, if you spend that money, or more specifically, if you commit that money, in other words, if you put the new asset in service prior to January 1st, before the end of this year, you're entitled to a 50% chunk of depreciation. If you go out and spend $10,000 on a new computer, you can deduct $5,000 of that right in the first year.
What about $102,000 expensing?
Yeah, that's what we call Section 179. You can still do that too. So let's go back.
But you don't get both. You get one or the other.
Well, if all I do is spend $10,000 in between now and December 31st on a new computer, I would, to use our terminology, Section 179 that, write the whole darn thing off. But if your business has bought a lot of equipment this year, in fact, if you've spent over $410,000 on new equipment, you start to phase out of this 100% depreciation you can take. Or, in fact, if you take the 100% depreciation and use up the whole $102,000 you mentioned, Jim, then you can still, in addition, do the 50% first year.
Right. So let's say you've already bought $102,000. You've already maxed out the direct expensing amount that's available this year, but you still have some equipment to buy.
Yep.
Then that is where the 50% depreciation comes in, the accelerated depreciation.
That's well said. And then there's another little glitch, is the Section 179 depreciation, 100% depreciation, can only be used to wipe out your profit. So let's say that you have a startup business and you didn't make any money this year. You don't expect to make any money this year. You can't use the Section 179. Actually, you can, but it wouldn't do any benefit to you this year. It would carry over and offset future profits. Well, it don't look like you're going to make any money for a while. You wouldn't use that. Instead, you would use the 50%, because if you're, let's say, at a break-even going in and you run out in December and buy $50,000 worth of equipment, you could depreciate $25,000 and throw yourself into a loss. mm-hmm. for that one acquisition. But the important point, Jim, is that all goes away December 31st. The 100%, the what I called Section 179 depreciation, right now is scheduled to sunset December 31st of 2005. So he's got another year
and
left.
And that's regardless of who gets elected or reelected. If the Congress doesn't change the law to extend that, it goes away December 31st.
Well, the 50% this year and the 100% the end of next year, right?
Oh, I thought the 100% went away this year.
No, that's good until December 31st of 05.
Okay, well, I thought it all went away this year. Okay, that's good news. Stand by. Stand by, Doug. We're going to take a quick break, folks. I'm glad we got that cleared up. 20 till. Stay with us. We'll be right back with our good friend Doug Stives. He's with the Kirchen Group in Red Bank, New Jersey. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our good friend Doug Stives. He's the resident CPA of the Small Business Advocate Show, but that's not where he makes his big money, folks. The big money comes from helping his clients there at his CPA firm. The little check I send him is not very much, so it's not that big a deal. Right, Doug?
I didn't even cash the last one. The bank threw me out.
What is Kirchen & Company's website, Kirchen Group's website?
We are at Kirchen.com.
C-U-R-T-C-H-I-N.
C-U-R-C-H-I-N.
C-H, no T. C-U-R-C-H-I-N.com. Check it out when you get a chance. Folks, if you've never been to a CPA's website, I think you ought to go one time in your life. So check that out.
Well, I recommend it if you're having trouble sleeping. You turn it on.
It's automatic.
Read all about the exciting things we do here in the world of accounting.
It's automatic. Put you right off. Okay, we're talking about doing a little year-end tax planning as we head off into the last half of the year. What are some other things that we need to know about, Doug?
Well, the major thing we talked about before the break is for small businesses, the depreciation. And it's confusing, and what I recommend is if you are thinking about buying equipment, get it done this year. The tax benefits are tremendous. We'll leave it at that. But the other change, the other thing we're very concerned about is the capital gains rates. Congress last year gave us this wonderful 15% maximum rate on capital gains.
Right.
And that is really set in the law, not supposed to expire until 2008, Jim, but I am vitally concerned that when President Kerry shows up next winter, or even if he somehow doesn't get elected, if we wind up with a Democratic Senate, I personally believe that the 15% capital gains rate will be just knocked off.
Well, one thing he has said, I think without being too specific, mm-hmm. maybe I missed any specifications that he gave, it seems to me like he said basically he was going to raise taxes on the top 2% or something like that.
Well, he's talking about
is that code for capital gains?
No, what he's saying is he's going to raise the tax if your income is over $200,000, which, as you just mentioned, is the top couple percent of individual taxpayers in the U.S. So right now, what the 2003 tax change did, Jim, is reduce the top rate from 38.6 down to 35%, and I think what Kerry's talking about is reversing that.
Reversing that, but now, you think that he may also, you're concerned that the Democrats may also increase the capital gains tax.
Yeah, he hasn't specifically said that, but the planning we're doing for our clients, for example, we just learned yesterday we have a client that owns a bunch of land here in New Jersey, and a developer has walked in and offered her $22 million for that property.
Wow.
Yeah, that's what I said. She's coming in here later this morning, and we are really pushing her hard is, you know, get that deal put together, go to contract, and for goodness sake, sell it before December 31st, because let's say she waits and doesn't close until January, and then Congress reconvenes next winter and decides to retroactive.
And make it retroactive. And they would do that, too, wouldn't they?
Well, what they typically would do, Jim, is say, you know, the first $100,000 or the first half million is still at 15%, but you're dealing with $22 million. Another 3 or 4 or 5% on there is, That's more than you and I make in a couple of years.
Yeah, pretty much every year. That's more than I make. Uh-huh.
Well, okay. Just, you know, that's your problem. But remember, the 15% rate, as you well know, applies to long-term capital gains. It also applies to dividends, and I'm vitally concerned about that. The stock market has been really painful this summer. But then if they turn around and say, well, you're going to start paying your regular tax rate on your dividend income again, it's going to take even a little bit of luster that's left in the stock market away. So
one of the, and speaking of the dividend taxation, you know, do you believe that the current tax rate on dividends has encouraged Microsoft to distribute the dividends that they have done or are in the process of doing?
I don't think it was the reason, Jim, but I think it certainly contributed,
didn't it?
Absolutely. If you're Bill Gates, what did he get? How many billion?
A lot.
Whatever it was, we'll say $1 billion just to throw a number out. I forget what it is, more or less. When you're talking a 15% rate versus a 35% rate on $1 billion, that's a $200 million tax savings.
But also, never mind what he got, but the point is companies are there's more pressure on them to distribute dividends because of the tax rate. If the tax rate's higher,
sure,
People are going to say, you know what, maybe I'd rather have that money go back into the company.
Yeah, and let me throw this out, because some people are out there saying, what's this 15%? Well, that's the top rate that right now, for this year at least, applies to dividends on stocks and long-term capital gains. If you're in the lower tax brackets, you know, if you have kids or you're retired or you're making a modest income, your rate on those types of things, long-term capital gains and dividends, is only 5%.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so a great incentive, and frankly what it was designed to do was be a reward for those of us that are willing to risk some of our capital,
right,
stock market.
Right.
And no question, it's been risky for the last couple of years.
Right.
But you know, to answer your question, I think certainly some corporate boards of directors have looked at this and said, hey, you know, if we're ever going to do a dividend, let's do it now.
Mm-hmm.
Also to stir up some interest in their stock and encourage investors to maybe place some of their wealth into the stock market.
But, well, and isn't this a good time maybe for the shareholders themselves? I mean, the owner-operator shareholders to maybe for the first time have their small businesses distribute dividends at a lower tax rate than if it came out as income. I mean, isn't that a good tax planning myth?
Well, you're right with me, Jim, because again, I'm predicting that this 15% tax bracket may be dead at the end of the year. So,
mm-hmm,
if you have a business, and we got to be careful here, if you're a C corporation with accumulated surplus, this might be the year to bail some of that out.
Think about it. Yeah, and you know, and we're talking about companies that have never paid dividends in the history of the company before. Maybe they're thinking about it this year. So talk to your CPA folks, whoever's advising you, and think about that. 10 till. Stay with us. We'll be right back with Doug Stives. Back. 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Doug Stives is our guest, and his website, folks, is Kurchin, CURCHIN.com. It's not your grandfather's CPA website, so you want to check it out when you get a chance. And Doug's our good friend. He's been a staunch advocate of all the things that we do and that you do in the marketplace. And we appreciate your time with us every time. Quickly, before we get into what you think Mr. Kerry would do if he became president, quickly I want to ask you about budgeting for gasoline. I've been telling my audience all year long, you know, believe these prices. They're not going to go away. The demand is there. And now I find out that even if the demand isn't there, we've got people speculating on gasoline right now, petroleum. So that's holding prices up. I think we're looking at $2 a gallon gas on average or close to that, as far as the eye can see, and that's what I'm recommending people budget for. What do you think?
Oh, no question in my mind. There's no reason for the prices to drop down, even if the price of crude goes down. Not going to happen. I mean, I think there should be some modest increases. One of the reasons we've become gasoline junkies in this country is because the stuff was so incredibly cheap for so long. It's just ridiculous. Anything we talk about, whether it's the price of vehicles or salaries or let alone college tuitions, Jim, they've gone up several times faster and multiples of what the gasoline prices have done.
Mm-hmm.
It's just incredibly cheap energy, and we've become spoiled rotten because of it. So,
yep. But in terms of our fleets, our company's fleets, we need to expect to pay these kind of rates, don't we?
Well, yeah, and you know, in line with that is consumer price indexes have really not risen that much. I've been skeptical and say I don't believe the price, the rates that the government gives us. But you know, go into your local retail store, and other than food during some parts of the year, the prices really haven't risen. So I honestly believe that the economy can withstand some increases that shippers and really all the consumer goods manufacturers and retailers are going to have to pass on. It's going to pay more to move stuff.
But, Doug, the price of gas right now has put a damper on the economy.
I agree. But I really think we can handle it. I guess is my
well. Opinion. We're going to have to deal with. It's going to have to be by degree because another increase is going to make it even tougher. I mean, any more of an increase in fuel, much more an increase in fuel could send us into the economy in the wrong direction.
Well, except it gives incentive to people, as you and I were talking about during the break. You know, hydrogen and all that is several years away. But think about it. Whatever kind of car you're driving today, Jim, believe me, you're using less gasoline than you were 20 years ago.
Well, that's true. That's true.
And even pre all these pollution control devices, mm-hmm. catalytic converters. The car I drove to work this morning gets about 25 miles per gallon. And 20 years ago, that was unheard of.
I didn't realize that Rolls Royces were doing that well. That's great.
Well, I have to check with my driver.
Doug, let's talk about, what are your thoughts? We've got a couple of minutes left. What are your thoughts on where President Kerry would take us in the future? How should we sort of prepare for the possibility of that budget?
Well, needless to say, anything that's coming out is politically driven. He's telling us things that we want to hear. And I don't fault the guy for that, okay? And some of the things I was just reading about yesterday is talking about some additional education credits. And, man, I'm all for that since I have a daughter in school. The education credits that are in the tax code right now are just not really very useful. They're better than nothing. So he's talking about expanding those, and I love it. He's also, for small businesses, Jim, talking about expansion or actually reinstitution of what's called the job credit. So if you go out and hire a couple of people, particularly if they need training, that the federal government, through tax credits, would effectively subsidize some of that. And that just sounds like a wonderful idea. It's good for the economy. It's particularly good for small business.
And he is talking about credits, not deductions.
That's right. That's right. And, right. You know, the thing that we talked about earlier this segment is that talking about reversing some of the tax cuts for the very wealthy. And, you know, I have a problem with that, and a lot of my clients have a problem with it. But you know what? They're not going to quit their jobs. The economy will continue to surge forward. The wealthy people in this country pay a tremendous portion of the tax revenue, but whether they pay another percent or two is not going to put them out of business. Clearly, they're not going to vote for this guy that's proposing that, but he knew that before he made those proposals. So, yeah, the crux of Kerry's campaign tax rhetoric is that he's going to ease up some of the tax burden on the middle class. And that reads well and sounds good. Whether, in fact, he'll do it or not, it's going to, frankly, depend on what kind of a Congress surfaces next year, Jim.
Absolutely. And I'm going to let that be the last word, Doug. Thank you for being here. Thank you for your information. We appreciate it very much.
Always a pleasure.
Doug Stives, ladies and gentlemen. He'll be back. We'll get him back again real soon. Thanks, Doug. See you later. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest entrepreneurial country in the world. And remember, when opportunity knocks, it doesn't know you've had a bad day. Greet it with a smile. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.